ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय In 2 days' time is the 50th anniversary of the arrival of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America, aboard the steamship named Jaladuta. Shall we speak a little bit about that? Is the echo? Echo. Band. Egdam. No echo. Everyone happy? Sab khushi hai? Everyone very happy? Very happy, all right. So what's the reason for that? Why are you happy? There could be many answers to that question. One answer could be that chanting Hare Krishna is very happy, makes us very happy. We just watch the charming dramas, that makes us very happy. We're confident of having nice prasadam soon, that makes us happy. We're not at work, that makes us happy. One reason we can give behind our gathering here today and behind the gathering of so many devotees all over the world chanting Hare Krishna is because Srila Prabhupada arrived in Boston in the United States 50 years ago. If Srila Prabhupada hadn't come, well, it's unimaginable. It's something like saying, well, if my mother had not given birth to me, can you imagine? It's not imaginable. So in the same way, we can't imagine what it would be like if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come. Well, I guess we could do. Our life would go on in the same humdrum way, in ignorance. But real life is life in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada came to give that. Some events in human history, they're known to be historical at the time. They're known to be of great importance at the time. For instance, there was already rehearsed, just like the rehearsals went on for the drama here. So at this supposed moon landing in 1967, the first ever moon landing, when Neil Armstrong, the astronaut, not the singer, got out of the space module, although the door was too small for him to get out with his suit, with his padded suit on, which makes people doubt, one of the many reasons which make people doubt that they ever went to the moon at all. But anyway, he was filmed jumping around in the moon dust, which should have caused a whole haze of dust because of the low gravity on the moon. But anyway, it's a drama, it's not real life. So anyway, it was rehearsed in advance saying that is one small step for man and one great step for mankind. Srila Prabhupada stepped off the Jaladuta, an insignificant ship. There are so many ships plying across the Atlantic. Actually, it became very significant because Srila Prabhupada traveled on that ship. And at one point, the devotees, they wanted to get that ship from the Sindhya Steamship Company and make it into a museum. But then they found out it had already been scrapped. There's nothing left, only the photo. Otherwise that would have been a great museum, that this ship, among so many ships which regularly ply across the Atlantic, this was very special because Srila Prabhupada came in that ship. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada's first... I tend to get a sore throat from that. Srila Prabhupada's first, what we call a temple, although it's not really a temple. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, he had a plan when he came to New York to build a temple Indian style in New York. Now there are many such temples all over the world, but what Srila Prabhupada had to settle for was a rented building, a former storefront, a little shop, which served for Srila Prabhupada's first gatherings and where the International Society of Krishna Consciousness was incorporated in 1966. So, it's just one small shop in one street in one big metropolis, New York City. But the significance of it is where the Hare Krishna movement in the Western countries was started. So fortunately, devotees some years ago were able to purchase that building and renovate it, and up to the present day it serves as a temple, not with deities but with regular meetings of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada stepped off that boat, and that was really one small step for man and one great step for mankind, although no one could have said at the time. Of course, we don't think of Srila Prabhupada as a man. He's not just an ordinary person. We don't refer to him as a man, because he is, in one sense, of course, a man, but he is Atimartya. He's beyond the platform of normal human beings who are subject to birth and death. In this regard, we have the statement of Lord Krishna, Acharyam mam vijaniyan navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. Lord Krishna says, you should know that the Acharya is myself, non-different from Krishna, and not disrespect him in any way. One should not consider the Acharya to be an ordinary mortal person or envy him, because he is the representative of all the demigods and all the great devotees who have gone before him. Of course, one who is a real Acharya doesn't say, I am God, but he says, I am a servant of God, and you are also a servant of God. And because he teaches this, therefore he is considered as good as God, and not directly God himself. And that is what Srila Prabhupada came to teach. That is the essence of everything that he came to teach, that who is God? The word God is known in the English language, but it's not a very well-defined term. There are many words in any language which are difficult to exactly define. Everyone can have some idea of what they are, but to exactly define them is very difficult. If we say the word mind, or love, or blue, it's very difficult to exactly define them. So similarly, the word God at least in the English language, no one knows how to define that. People think it's a vague, abstract concept, like love, or blue, or infinity. But Srila Prabhupada came to give actual knowledge of God. Who is God? Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasha shastriyaha gyana vairagya yoshaiva shannang bhaga itingina. Yeah, when I asked the question, who is God? Some of you said Krishna. Well, that's true, but if we just say Krishna, some will say, well, why Krishna? We have our Jesus, or we have our Allah. Why Krishna? It's just your sectarian belief. So Srila Prabhupada established who is Krishna, who is God? That person who is replete with all opulences in full. All wealth, all strength, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, all renunciation. Whoever has that in full must be God. This is the definition. Generally in Western theology, Christian theology, they use the terms omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, which means he's everywhere, he knows everything, and he's all-powerful. So that's true, but the Vedic definition is more precise, gives a more precise understanding. So if we look through the Vedic literature, the Vedic literature informs or gives us the character of Krishna, and Krishna fully fits this. So Srila Prabhupada came to give knowledge of the science of God, as we saw in the drama of Krishna instructing Arjuna. Of course, the whole Bhagavad Gita wasn't given, but that is the introductory science of God, which begins with the science of the soul. The shloka was quoted in that drama, Dehinosmin yatha dehi, kaumarang yovanang jara tata, dehantara prapti, dhiras tatrana mohyati. As the embodied soul passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, so the soul at the time of death passes into another body. A self-realized soul is not bewildered by this change. So, in the Western countries at that time, there was very little knowledge about the science of the self, Atmagyan. What to speak of Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan, the science of knowledge of God. People didn't even know the science of the self. That we are not the body and we go from body to body to body. They had no idea. Most of the people, they had developed their technology to a level that they were preparing either to go to the moon or to make a good drama of going to the moon. And at least their technology was so developed that they could conduct a full-scale war on the other side of the world. At that time when Srila Prabhupada went to America, the United States government was conducting a full-scale war in Vietnam. So they're very advanced technologically, but they had no idea of the science of the soul. So Srila Prabhupada came to teach from the very beginning. There was no culture. People had no... When I say culture, I particularly mean... Of course, there's some culture in every every group of humans. But culture, Sanskriti, that word Sanskriti is sometimes translated as culture. But it specifically means that culture which has the effect of sanskar. Of course, sanskar means transformation or reformation. So every culture has the effect of influencing a person. But sanskriti is meant for influencing a person so that they become purified. But there is no such thing in the Western countries. No, we saw in Bhagavad Gita drama also, the whole theme was about how knowledge is received in guru shishya parampara, from guru to disciple in a chain coming down. No such culture. The students would they would take knowledge from the guru, but then they would sit with their feet pointing at him, and they didn't know to serve the guru. They would take service from the guru. Srila Prabhupada would cook, clean, do everything for them. So there was really no culture, no knowledge. They were so devoid of Vedic knowledge that when one of Srila Prabhupada's first followers, they weren't really followers, hangers-on, they thought to decorate the storefront that Srila Prabhupada was using as the premises of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which at that time wasn't international, it wasn't even national, it was just a storefront in New York City. Srila Prabhupada had a great vision. So when some of Srila Prabhupada's first, what to call them, associate, hangers-on maybe, it's difficult to say at that time, there was no real commitment, but they thought to decorate the storefront with pictures bought from an Indian shop, which they did without telling Swamiji, as they called him at the time, without telling him, they thought it would be a surprise. We'll give him a surprise, a nice surprise, how this storefront is decorated with pictures from India. And in those days, the pictures from India, the Brijbasi prince in Mathura, those went all over North India. The Gita Press at Gorakhpur, they had very beautiful pictures they were publishing. And Brijbasi Press also. And there was one Kanna in Madras. Kanna, Punjabi name. But and mostly the pictures were all religious. I first came to India in the 1970s when we went in people's houses. There were pictures, mostly all religious. Pictures of different gods and sadhus. In different parts of India, we'd see different pictures. If we go up to Punjab side, then we'd see pictures of the Sikh gurus. In Bengal, there would be pictures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so pictures of Vishnu, Shiva, different demigods, different sadhus. At that time, Sai Baba wasn't very popular. So we didn't see his picture much. And there were also pictures of Mahatma Gandhi, who was highly esteemed at that time. I think his reputation has gone down in India a lot since then. Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru, somehow or other, he was popular, even though he was dead. And different leaders, Bhagat Singh and all the leaders of the independence movement. But mostly it was religious pictures. India was very religious. In fact, I remember reading in a book that was quite well known in England or in the West, quite well known, not very well known at that time. There was someone who'd been to India, Paul Brunton was the name of the writer, and he said that India is the most religious country in the world. There are pictures of gods everywhere, in everyone's house, in the buses, people are very religious, and that's true up to the present day. So anyway, these pictures were used for decorating the storefront, and Srila Prabhupada, but the devotees or budding devotees who placed these pictures, they didn't know what the pictures were of, and they didn't know what was. They had some idea that some might be bona fide and some not. So they asked the Swamiji, they showed the Swamiji all the pictures, and said, "Is this one okay? Is this one?" Some they could recognize as Krishna. There weren't so many pictures of Krishna then. One of the gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave to the world is transcendental art. So many beautiful pictures of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada organized artists to paint beautiful pictures of Krishna. And we'll find them everywhere. Not only ISKCON devotees use them, but many others use them. The painting of Nrisimhadev ripping apart Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, with Prahlad Maharaj standing there and supplicating Nrisimhadev. That's popular on many websites of nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but some people they delight in violence and blood and all this kind of thing. So that picture's become very popular. So anyway, Swamiji, the devotees, they brought him before a picture of Hanuman. And they put the picture of Hanuman in the storefront. And they asked Swamiji, "Is this picture okay?" "Oh, very nice," Srila Prabhupada said. And the devotee asked, "Is it a cat?" Now everyone in India, even the Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, they all know that Hanuman is a monkey. But this Howard, I believe it was, who later became Hayagriva, he was so ignorant, not particularly to blame him, because he's just representative of everyone in America. He had no idea that Hanuman, who is worshipped by millions of Hindus, and probably at least some Christians and Muslims and others also. Once on a plane, I was going from Dubai to somewhere in India, and there was a Christian DJ, disc jockey from Bombay, sitting next to me. He had been flown over to just for one party in Dubai. And he said, "I'm a Christian." But he said, "I'm also a devotee of Ganesh." So, because there's the famous Ganesh temple in Bombay. So maybe that Hindus definitely, and some non-Hindu, they all know about Hanuman. But this Howard, who was a professor in Ohio State University, he was an educated person, highly educated person. He had no idea of who Hanuman was. So that just gives you some idea of how little the people in the Western countries knew about Krishna consciousness. Let's see, how much did they know? Zero. Krishna, most people had never heard the word. Reincarnation, well, probably more educated people had maybe heard something about it, but they didn't think it was anything very important or interesting. They just thought, bhasmibhutasya dehasya king puna agamano bhavit. This is the atheistic outlook of Charvak. Even in India there have been atheists. So Charvak, the atheist, said that The body, when it's dead, it's burned, becomes ashes, and it won't come back again. Nothing will come back. So they think like that, or they think that anyway you have one life and then it's all over. Either you go to heaven with Jesus or you go to hell with Lucifer, and that's all. Very simplistic outlook. So Srila Prabhupada, what he was up against, he had no friends, no money, no contacts. He had great faith in the order of his guru, great faith in the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We saw the drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he was teaching, giving knowledge to Sanatan and Rupa, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami. So that knowledge Srila Prabhupada brought, and he also brought, we also heard in the drama of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar. So Srila Prabhupada brought with him a lot of mercy. Lot of mercy is required. Otherwise, how is it possible that people who are so far from Krishna can come so close to Krishna? So this talk should go on and on and on and on and on. And it will go on and on and on, and not just by myself just now, because time is limited, but Ebe Josh Gushuk Tribhuvan. May Srila Prabhupada be glorified throughout the three worlds. Let us never forget that we are all here. We all have this opportunity to be happy in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who is the carrier of the mercy of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the previous acharyas. And we should also, as servants of Srila Prabhupada in the disciplic succession, we should also try to spread that mercy to others. Give that knowledge that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, that Krishna gave, that Srila Prabhupada gave. Try to give this knowledge to others. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.